search for Canada's next musical star comes to Vancouver this week as the wildly popular reality phenomenon Canadian Idol holds their auditions at the Plaza of Nations tomorrow, Friday the 11th of February. Joining me on the line to discuss the search for the next Kaylin Porter, as well as kick off the third season of Canadian Idol, is its host, Ben Mulrooney. Ben Mulrooney is the son of former Prime Minister Brian Mulrooney and has graduated from Laval and Duke Universities with law and history degrees, respectively. He is also the host of eTalk Daily, CTV's daily entertainment news program. He has been the host of Canadian Idol since its inception. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca, Ben Mulrooney. Good afternoon, Mr. Mulrooney.
Good afternoon.
Talk to me about just the details about tomorrow's audition. Where can people still show up tomorrow at the Plaza of Nations?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're trying to get as many people as possible to pre-register online at idol.ctv.ca. It kind of speeds up their process. But, people can arrive as late as 8 a.m. If they get there at 8 a.m., they will be heard. So, they'll be heard by the producers tomorrow because the first leg of the audition is the first couple of rounds is through the producers, and it's only the third round of auditions that get to see the celebrity judges, because there's just no way that the celebrity judges could see everyone.
Now, if people just want to watch the goings on at the Plaza of Nations, can they do that, and will there be entertainment?
Oh, well, I think as of 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Elena Watko and Shane Weeb, two of our top 10 finalists from British Columbia, who actually got through the Vancouver round, will be performing. So there will be entertainment. It's a good reminder for the people in Vancouver that three of the top 10 from last year came from Vancouver, and that we found just so much talent out here that hopefully it'll kind of inspire a lot of people to come out.
What are some of the people besides Kaylin Porter? What are some of the people in the top 10? What are they doing now? For example, Jacob Hogarth. He was my favorite.
Well, he's a lot of people's favorite. I think Jacob has, if I'm not mistaken, I know he's back with his band Headley, I know they've signed with a booking agent to tour around the country. And in terms of a record deal, I think one is imminent, but I don't know that, I can't really speak to that. Elena, I think, has decided to go back to school.
Really?
For now, I think, because she's at Queens. Let me see. I haven't really been keeping up with that just because I've had so many other things on my plate. I do know I'm hosting the red carpet at the Junos, and I know that three people from the top 10 from 2 years ago are nominated for Junos.
Speaking about that, you pay attention to entertainment news, that's your job. Talk to me about Canadian Idol, and how significant is that for an aspiring musician, a shot on Canadian Idol?
Well, I think that last year we showed that you can maintain your originality, your original voice, as Jacob Hogarth did, and really capitalize on the exposure that it gives you. I mean, he went right back to his band, and their fan base has only grown, and I don't think he alienated any of his fans that he had before he got onto Idol. So he played the system and he took everything he could out of it. He made our jobs better, and I think he showed and demonstrated in a way that hasn't been done before that it is not a cookie cutter sort of. It doesn't have to be a cookie cutter sort of competition. It's really what the individual makes of it. We've been talking a lot about the Americans call it the search for the next superstar. Well, just by the very fact of being on American Idol, you've got so many people who are so into the show that just by being in the top 10, you are technically a superstar without having to prove yourself in the music industry. Our show, because the population is just not that big and the industry in Canada is not that big, our goals are more modest, but I think in the long run are more realistic in that we offer a chance for these kids to gain knowledge and insight and connections in the music industry, gain exposure from a fan point of view, and develop a certain following that will follow you to a certain extent. But then once you've either won or taken advantage of it as long as you can, you have to then go out and prove yourself. Canada doesn't have the industry support or the population support to say that your life is set once you get out, once you're done with the show. So I think the show itself prepares kids a lot more, because the goals of the show are more realistic or more modest. We're saying, look, we're giving you the opportunity. We're cracking the door for you. It's entirely up to you after that to make sure that that sticks. If you want to be a superstar, you know, we're giving you a leg up, but by no means is the story done.
Is the format of that's set in stone around the world, right? So there isn't much tinkering that the Canadian producers can do to make it uniquely Canadian, or is there?
Oh, well, I think the show, by its very nature, is Canadian. There's nothing American or British about a competition. Those have been going on forever, and there's nothing uniquely American, British, French, or German about a televised competition. So that has nothing to do with the national character, national flavor of the show. What makes it Canadian is the sensibility of the show and the places we go, the people who audition, the music that's played. I mean, we are a reflection of a certain type of style or preference in Canada. We represent something that over 2 million Canadians want to watch, and it's, I think, a reflection of those 2 million Canadians. It's we cross the country this year for the first time. We go to all 10 provinces, and it's a show produced by Canadians, for Canadians, hosted by a Canadian, judged by 4 Canadian judges, that celebrates Canadian talent. And on certain nights, on a consistent basis, you will hear Canadian music through the show. And there's nothing about the format that's intrinsically specific to one nation. It's the fact that we can then imprint our national kind of, if you will, DNA on the show that makes it entirely Canadian.
The success of Canadian Idol, you talk about 2.2 million viewers for each episode or average. Has that been extraordinary? That must be extraordinary. And has it been surprising to you and your producers at CTV how successful the show has become?
Well, I don't. It never surprised me, because I knew from watching the first season of American Idol that Canadians wanted to watch it. American Idol in Canada gets incredible numbers as well. And when it first debuted in Canada, there was a thirst for it. It was really impressive. Except I thought the one thing that was really going to that drew people to the show, the ability to vote and have a sense of ownership over it, was denied to Canadians. And I thought if we did the show well enough, if it looked good enough, and if we took it seriously and invested in it, and gave Canadians a show that they could be proud of, and that they could vote on and therefore take ownership over, I thought we wouldn't have any trouble getting those numbers. A lot of people did, and those people have, I don't think they've taken ownership over the fact that they said that this would not fly, that Canadians simply do not celebrate their own this way. But I wasn't surprised by it. If anything, if I'm surprised by anything, I'm surprised that the Canadian public still has a thirst for this. I'm eternally surprised that we keep going back for more, if only because Canada has, because we watch American Idol, we're the only country who's experienced 7 Idol shows. We're going on our 7th with this Canadian one.
Right.
And if any country would experience burnout first, it would naturally be us.
As for the third season, you talked about going to all 10 provinces, and including one territory, are you?
Yes.
Is there anything else new that we can expect for this third season of Canadian Idol?
I think a lot of those surprises are still in development, just because the audition process is, oh my gosh, it takes up the lion's share of our time right now, and it only represents 3 shows off the top. For the amount of work we do, we put together so much tape, and we see so many people that personally, I think I would be foolish to look beyond it right now. It's just such a big, and I think the most important part of the search, we have to take it very seriously. We've got to really, because the rest of the success of the show depends on the people we find right now.
Can I give you a suggestion, though, for the upcoming season?
Shoot away, go ahead.
It's unsolicited, I know. More John Doerr.
Oh, listen.
He's just the funniest guy I've ever seen.
You don't have to tell me that. I think he's, I think he is the one of the most talented people I've worked with, without a doubt. I haven't seen him in a few months, and he and I have been working together doing press today. And it's just so great to get back on the road with him.
The two of you, I mean, you guys could go on the road with that, you know?
I have so much fun with him. I really do. And I think he's, on top of being a very funny guy, I think he's a very generous comic. He doesn't care where the laugh comes from, so long as it comes. He'll be the butt of the joke if he needs to be. You can't say that about every comic.
What about the judges? What are they like to work with? Do you work with them closely or not?
When we do the show, absolutely. And during this process, it's really me and John, and they're in their own little world as well. We become more of a team when the show moves back to Toronto. Because right now they're inside the room, and John and I are outside the room. And so there's that disconnect. They kind of parachute in for each of the cities, because they're only here for the celebrity days. John and I are going to every city, I think a little before, to do some press to kind of get people excited about the auditions, and so we're on the road for 5 straight weeks.
We're talking with Ben Mulrooney from CTV's E Talk Daily and the host of Canadian Idol. You're with the contestants, are you not, from auditions, for most of them, auditions on to the finale, right?
I try and meet them as early on as possible because I want to, that's part of the exciting part of the show is, you're taking the person, your next door neighbor or the guy you sat next to at lunch yesterday and watching his journey, his or her journey.
It must be gratifying to see them succeed and do so well with...
It absolutely is. And one thing that we want to do on the show this year, more so than in the past, is show people how hard they work. I don't think we've ever gotten that across. A lot of people still have it in their heads that, as soon as we bring them to Toronto, they practice one song a week and that's it. But these people have no time off. When they're not doing press, they're preparing for the show, and when they're not preparing for the show, they're traveling and they're preparing their music, and if they're not preparing the music, they're preparing the televised portion of the show, and they don't get any time off. And if you win, then you go straight back to work. So a guy like Kalen Porter has had maybe 5 days off since he auditioned almost a year ago. And we want to show more of that because there are great rewards on the show, and they do have a lot of fun. But they are a disciplined bunch, and they deserve their success. And it would be wrong for people to sit there and just assume that they practice one song a week and go home and then do it all again the next week.
You told McLean's magazine that you're sort of like a big brother figure to them.
Yeah.
In terms of, you've lived your life in the public eye, and you know some people. People close to you that have had to endure public scrutiny. What do you tell them in terms of tips and things so that when they make the jump from anonymity to stardom or fame or just attention for that matter, how to deal with that and how to deal with the prying eye of the public?
Well, I wouldn't offer it unless solicited. I mean, some people are very good at dealing with that stuff right off the bat, and other people have to learn for themselves. If asked, I would say always assume someone's watching, and that's not in a creepy way. That's not to feel that you don't have privacy, but it's a way to to check your behavior and wonder what would happen if something you did got back to your family. How would they feel? Because we're dealing with kids here as well, so a lot of it you want their parents to be proud. You want their family to be proud. You want their hometown to be proud as well. I would also tell them that when they do make a mistake, they should take ownership over it. That's the best way to learn from it. Learn from the people around you. I tell people for work at CTV. I assume everyone at CTV is my boss. That's why that's why I don't have any problems with any of my coworkers. Because if they ask for something, I do it. I assume they know better, and that's
And you're not a diva like Seamus O'Regan, right?
Oh gosh, Seamus O'Regan and his East Coast diva moves. I'm kidding, obviously. Seamus and I come from the same school of thought, which is that we've got a job to do, and it can't get done unless everyone who works on it prior to us does a good job, and we want to keep them happy. Because if something happens along the way to us getting that, say, final sheet of paper, we're the ones who are going to look foolish. So we want to make sure that everyone is happy with the job we do, and they know that we're taking their job seriously, and that's how it all works out.
One of the things I remember the two of you on the chat room, and I used to watch that all the time, whatever happened to Craig Norris?
Gosh.
He was the funniest guy ever.
Wasn't he hysterical? Still to this day, we shoot E Talk Daily in the old chat room. Studio.
Right.
And still to this day, we find ourselves quoting expressions that he made up. He is a genius. He's doing music, and he's back in Guelph. And for the life of me, I have been unable to get caught up with him. I get emails from him every now and then. But to this day, no one has a bad thing to say about him. He was one of the funniest guys to work with, so quick off the bat. I wish to God there had been a way that he could have either stayed at CTV or worked on a television show of his own, but I think he wanted to focus on his music and his family. I can tell you, if I ever get a day to go back up to his hometown and hang out with him, I will.
Talk to me about, this is a question now from a member of my staff. Talk to me about working with Tanya Kim.
Talk about working with Tanya.
It seems like you have an unenviable job.
Tanya is a fantastic person to work with. She's fun. She's like I am. She's excited about our work. You have to do Canadian Idol or to do E Talk Daily, you have to buy into the process. If you're someone who thinks that entertainment is trivial and that it doesn't matter, it's going to come across on the screen. You have no business doing that job then. If you don't like entertainment, if you're someone who thinks that popular entertainment is lowbrow and somehow beneath you, that'll come across. And she and I both have fun with what we do. We think that there's some really interesting things coming out of Hollywood. We think that Canada is developing a really interesting and more and more mature star system, which is worth following, and it's interesting being part of. And also, we don't think that we're not trying to parlay this job into something else. There are far too many people who audition for jobs like ours in the hopes of turning it into a job south of the border or getting more money from a rival network. We're both extremely happy at CTV and happy to be part of this kind of this burgeoning star system and helping to develop it.
I think they were wondering, members of my staff, if she was dating anybody, if you'd put in a good word for them.
I will do my best.
Thanks.
I will see what I can do. I can't promise anything.
Talking about, about being happy at CTV.
Yeah.
You never thought you'd end up in this line of work, did you?
No, God, no. No, I thought I didn't know what I'd do. I certainly knew I wouldn't be a lawyer, but I didn't. Television was. I remember the day I got the phone call to work at the chat room. I was sitting working at Ogilvy Renault in Quebec City,
uh-huh.
And I said, "Yeah, sure. Well, come for a meeting. You know, I'll fly to Toronto and come for a meeting." And I looked at my friend across the hall and I said, "Wouldn't that be funny if I worked on TV?" I kind of sat back and pictured it,
right,
trying to imagine it. And a smile came over my face, but it was more the novelty of it, how ludicrous it sounded coming off the out of my mouth, because I had never even thought of it before.
The articles and columns that I wrote about the second season of Canadian Idol got linked onto fan sites. I'm sure they'll link this interview. So for them, what's one thing that fans don't know about you that you're willing to share with me and my audience now?
One thing that fans don't know about me. There are two things I like to read. One are very dry historical books on anything from the history of euthanasia.
Oh, really?
To The Rape of Nanking. That was a great one. And the other thing I like to read are comic books.
Really?
Yeah, and I love reading comic books.
Well, thanks so much for doing this and for talking about it. Another question about how old do you have to be and how old?
16 to 26.
16.
I think are still the ages for Idol. And, like I said, Vancouver gave us three wildly different styles and voices, and I'm sure there are more than three. And hopefully a lot of people will come out and show us what the West is made of.
And then these shows air, I guess, in June, do they? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of downtime between the performances that we will hear tomorrow and by the time we see them on television.
Talking about, just one last question,
yep.
This is for me now, about the historical books. When does your dad's book come out? Because we're all waiting.
Well, I know he's working on it.
Okay.
I know he's working on it, and while I haven't read any of the draft yet, the people I've talked to who have read it say that the guy writes the way he used to give a speech, which is to say he weaves a wonderful story and you can hear it in his own voice, and he had a great speaking voice.
That's very true, and some of it's rubbed off on you, I guess, hasn't it? We're waiting for that book because we know that it's going to be good, right?
Well, I would love for him to get done with it soon, but I do know that he's taking his time with it because he wants it to be entirely in his own voice.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Oh, my pleasure.
Watch Canadian Idol when it airs this spring, and if you're so inclined, head down to the auditions tomorrow at the Plaza of Nations here in Vancouver. Idol.ctv.ca is the website for the commentary. I'm Joseph Lennon.